morning. Welcome to our service, and a special welcome to all visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. Following the service, there'll be coffee through in the hall, and there's a tradecraft stall there as well, and you would be welcome to join us. Intimations are on the order of service. We're a little bit short of orders of service this morning, so you may have to share. I want to draw your attention to one or two. The first is that the recital scheduled for this afternoon will now take place on Sunday, the 17th of November at 3 o'clock. Sunday, the 17th of November, is going to be a very busy Sunday because there is a tradecraft Christmas fair following the service. And then at 12:30, members, office bearers, are invited to a meeting to discuss the draft presbytery plan. And there's a sign-up sheet at the back for that, otherwise you won't get your lunch. What else have I got to say? Oh yes, the Christmas light sponsors. The church is going to sponsor one of the lights, one of the street lights, and for that we're inviting donations. And there are trays at the two doors and at the main door. And please, if you could donate to that, we would be very grateful. There's also an envelope so that we can get the gift aid back on that. Today's service is being led by the Guild, and we're very pleased to welcome Ian White, General Secretary of the Church of Scotland Guild, and we'll be hearing from him later. In the meantime, I'll hand over to Mary Troop.
Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our Guild service this morning. We're so pleased to see so many of you here to support us, especially on such a miserable day. So thank you for coming. The Guild theme this year is the title of this morning's service, Companions on the Road. Walking with others on our journey of faith is both rewarding and enriching. It enables us to learn and share more of what God wants us as individuals to do, and also within our church and our community. Our friends and those we meet along life's journey influence us and can lead us to many turning points in our lives. We are made for companionship. The companion of all companions is our Lord Jesus Christ. And our worship today will help us to focus and reflect on this together, as we remember whom we are, whose we are, and whom we serve. God is all around us. Jesus walks beside us. And the Holy Spirit guides us today and always. Let us now join together in our worship. Let us sing hymn 159, Lord for the Years, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I was here once before, about 7 years ago, and it's nice to be back in Colts Church this morning. I know your minister really quite well because we worked together for a number of years way back when, don't tell her, but I was her boss. And I spoke to her again a few weeks ago. It's interesting that she knew I was coming to her church and she left the country on the same day, but I'm sure it's not personal. Well, I'm not sure, but I hope it's not personal at least. We're going to talk today about companions on the road and us all being on the same journey with the Guild and with the congregation and with other people. So, I was going to say boys and girls, but I think I have to say girls. Yes. Are you good at volunteering here to help? Because you get to get up and move around if you do this, yeah? Could I have your help? Please? Because if you don't, I'm in trouble. I'm going to ask you to do different things. And I hope you know your way around the church. And I'm going to ask you to do some daft things in case we don't want to. Right. Let's have some names. What's your name?
Annie.
Annie. And?
Joy.
Joy.
Isla.
Isla.
And
Leah. Leah. Well, okay, thank you. Don't ask me to remember all those because they won't. Right. Okay, I'd like one of you, who knows the church quite well, see where the lady is up there. Do you know how to get there? Does anyone know how to get up to the stairs? Yeah? No? Can somebody show her? I'd like one of the girls to go upstairs to the organ loft, if that's possible. Somebody can maybe guide her, yeah? Okay, right. Have you, first one to go. Who would like to go upstairs? Get a different view of the world from up there. One of you now. Don't get too carried away. Thank you, Ella. Good, thank you. Now, I'd like somebody else to... Could you... This is... If you feel brave... Could you go down to the middle of the chairs there and just lie on the ground, please? Okay. And if you could go and stand on there. Okay? And if you stay right there, we'll see what we can do. We just have to wait for the person to arrive upstairs. I've no idea how far that is. If she has to go outside or get a bus, or what, she'd be okay. We're going to think about how the church looks to different people, okay? So, can you tell me, what can you see from there? That's one or two things. You can see people down there, yeah? Yeah, so you can see people. You can see the back of the people, the front of the people. Front, yeah, you can see their faces, can't they? Very good looking, aren't they? Okay, now, I want you to come over here with me. I'm down here. Can you go back down? Let's go down these stairs, okay? There we go. Right, and you can just, if you sit there now, this might be, tell me, what can you see if you look over there? You can see? I see Annie, yeah. Can you see any flowers? Mm-hmm. See flowers? Anything else? Lady waving? Mary?
It's just
in the big window. Okay, now, come to you in a minute. No dozing off, okay? What can you see up there? Sorry? Uh-huh. And round and behind you? Uh-huh. An organ? An organ and an organist, yes. And what can you see? If you lie down, I have to lie right down to get the effect of this. Right, no, right down, that's not right down. The roof, yes. So, one person can see the roof, one can see an organ, somebody can see flowers, somebody can see people's faces. How many churches can you see? How many churches? One. And we see more than one church? If so, we hope there's a nurse in the room. No? You can all see different things, can't you? It's all very different, but you're just seeing one church. Now, if you can stand up, what I'd like you to do now is collect something for me. So all the different things that we've seen there, the roof, the windows, the flowers, the organ, the people, make the church when you put them all together, all different things. Could you, I'm going to ask you, someone who's an elder, put their hand up, please. Right, could you look around? If you know any of these people, could you bring one of those elders to the front, please? And one of the elders might have to volunteer to do this because she might be too shy to ask you. Would an elder like to come with her to the front? There's one there. There's a very handy elder right on the end of the row there. That's good. Okay. I won't ask you up there But if you could just stand beside an organist, if you can find one. Okay. And if you could find someone who looks after the Sunday school. Yeah. And they could come up here as well. Could you find me somebody who plays the violin and tell them they've got to come up here as well? You knew this was going to happen, didn't you? And normally when we do this, we ask you to bring forward a minister, but we seem to be in short supply this morning. Are there any ministers in the congregation? No? Yes, good. Maybe we could bring the minister forward as well then. Yes? Would that be okay? So what do we have now? We have a musician, we have a minister, we have a young person's leader, we have an elder, we have some of the children, we have the guild ladies around here, and all of these people together. How many churches do they make? If they all make the church, all these people make the church, and an organist as well. Sorry, I forgot you up there. As an organist myself, I forgot you. How many churches does that make altogether?
One.
Thank you. Thank you. We're all together as companions on this road, and this church wouldn't work. And we'll come back to this later on about when we're talking about companions on the road, which is the guild theme for the year. Without all these people working together and with us, and without all these different things in the church, we wouldn't have the church. So I want to thank all these people for looking. These are all bits and pieces of the church that together, the jigsaw comes together and makes it the church. We are companions on the road being the church. And let's remember that as we think about our different jobs. We'll talk to adults a bit more about that later, how all these things work together to make it the possible. People talk about children being the church of the future, but they're just as much the church of today and part of what we do. The musicians help us worship, the ministers, leaders in worship, the elders lead the congregation in its life, and it's through that, as companions on the road, we work together. So thank you, girls. Thank you for doing that. You can go back to your seats now. And we move on to the next hymn, which is Will You Come and Follow Me, is that right? Oh no, sorry. We're going to sing the hymn, The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free, which you'll find on a separate sheet inside your order of service. The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free.
Thank you.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you have brought us here this morning from our different homes and from different corners of your kingdom. We thank you for the invitation to come into your house and to come into your presence. And for the opportunity to lay our worries and problems aside and simply come here and be with you to worship you. You are a loving and generous God, and we are your undeserving people. Nevertheless, you continue to love us and to care for us and to provide us with everything that we need. All you ask of us in return is that we love you too and that we try to do your will. You have entrusted us, Father, with the care of your beautiful world, with all its wonderful shapes and sounds and colours. You have asked us to keep it safe, to not waste its resources. Sadly, Father, our poor efforts have fallen far short of what you expect of us. Redouble our efforts that we may do better in the future and help us to do the things that please you. We give you our thanks for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have made us ordinary people because you use ordinary people to do your work here on earth. And we thank you for being ordinary because we have the privilege of serving you in our guild and in our church and in any part of the world that we feel we can make a difference. We thank you for the friendship and the fellowship we have in our guild. We thank you for the talented people in our guild and in our congregation who unhesitatingly give their time and talents to make life easier and pleasanter for people who are less fortunate. We remember our friends who cannot be with us today for whatever reason. And as we explore our theme, Companions on the Road, help them to know that they are not alone and that you are their companions too. You have sent companions into our lives, Father, to inspire us on our journey. Our parents, our school teachers, friends, even strangers, or people that we may have read about in the Bible. We thank you for sending Ian to us this morning. We ask, as we look forward to what he has to tell us, we ask your blessing on him and his family, and on all his journeys. Bless all the work that he does for the guild in your name. Help us to remember whose we are and whom we serve. Father, we know that our list of thank yous is endless, and however many times we say thank you, we know it's never enough. But we do thank you most of all for sending Jesus, your Son, to us. He accepted the punishment for our sins and gave his life for us. Help us to remember, Father, whose we are and whom we serve. And now let us join in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 12, and this can be found on page 200 of the Pew Bibles. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christian brothers, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. And we'll now sing hymn 694, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Speak this morning a wee bit about the Guild and about its theme for the year and about the work that we do on behalf of local congregations and across presbytery areas nationally and beyond that, in fact. Some background. The Guild, as you will know, is a very active organisation within the Church of Scotland, and it's there to promote faith development and service amongst people who are its members. It's part of the Church of Scotland. It's a movement. It's described as a movement within the Church of Scotland. It's not a separate entity. It's something that operates within the congregation, is answerable to Kirk Session, and within the national level to the General Assembly. And every 3 years we have a new cycle. We're in the second year now of the cycle that runs between 2018 to 21. We call it a strategy, which is really a kind of overarching theme. And at the moment that is One Journey, Many Roads. A title which seems to me to relate very well to our reading about the body of Christ, about how we're all parts of the same body. One journey, many roads. People doing the same mission, if you like, but in different ways in different places. And for us in the Guild, if we have a Guild in the northwest of Scotland, which is the smallest one we have in our records with 4 people in it, or the one in Glasgow, on the south side of Glasgow, that has over 100 members in it, and all points in between, they're all the Guild. They're all there to serve Christ through worship, prayer, action and fellowship, but they have to do it in different ways because they'll be operating in different places with different skills, different resources, different numbers and so on. And everything I'm going to say about the Guild actually I think can actually just be magnified into what we say about the whole Church of Scotland and indeed the whole of the Church and how we all work together locally, regionally, nationally. We talk within that reading there, when it talks about the different gifts that people may have, the gifts of the Spirit. Broadly speaking, I found them defined as these 7 gifts, and people use different words in different places. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. All of these spirits, all these gifts of the Spirit. And it strikes me that one of the things that can overwhelm us as Christian people and as church people is that we see these things written down and say, oh, I think I have to be all of those. How can I possibly be all of those? How can I teach? How can I prophesy? How can I be someone who looks after folk? How can I be someone who encourages, inspires, supports, whatever it might be? And the point I want to make this morning is it's not about individual people doing all of these things. It's about the body of Christ working together to do them collectively and to share with each other in what we do. We shouldn't feel under that pressure to be all things to all people. We should each be looking for our own gifts, and we do all have them, and how we might use them in the church. In the Guild at the moment, we're looking at ways of reinvigorating ourselves in lots of different aspects of what we do and why we do it. And Mary mentioned earlier on in the prayer the motto of the Guild, which is who we are and whom we serve, and that whole notion of service and how we do that, and how we encourage people to see how they can serve their own church, their own world around them, without feeling that pressure to try to do all things in all times. No football team could have 11 goalkeepers. They wouldn't lose very often. But it's also against the rules. No orchestra could have only violinists, important as though they are to an orchestra. We have to have the other. We have flute, clarinet, we have cello, we have other instruments, and a full orchestra would have brass section, woodwind, and all of those things together. It wouldn't work unless we had all those different things, and a conductor, and a leader, and so on. No building firm could get together and say, we're going to create a new housing estate, we've only got plumbers. Because all you'd have is a heap of pipes. We need to have the different skills, the different trades, and so on. And any organisation you've worked in, you'll be able to think of the same thing. We need all those skills, we need all those things as individuals to come together to produce the collective. But I think it's also important to think that the body of Christ is not just about today. That the people who are contributing to today's church are not the only important parts of what is the body of Christ that is the church. The people who have gone before us are part of that heritage as well and have made it possible. The people who put this church together in its original form, built it, I'm guessing probably in the Victorian era, or whenever this church was built, and then the people who modernised it, the people who changed the way it looks, the people who maintained it, the people who have run the Kirk Session over the years, the previous session clerks, the previous elders, the previous ministers, the previous choir leaders, the previous organists, have all contributed to make the church what it is today. And they are part of that body of Christ as well. And we have to think of that aspect too. So we've got the collective body here in front of us, with us, around us today. We've got the one going past it, but we've also got it going out the way as well. And for the guild and for the congregation, I think it's important to remember we are part of something so much bigger than just our own congregations. That we go way beyond that as well. As a church you are, and the presbytery plan was mentioned today, which I'm sure is going straightforward, it'll just roll on. There won't be any controversy involved, but there'll be a presbytery plan there, which will take its shape. And that talks about the churches in the Aberdeen area working together as part of the Church of Scotland. And those presbyteries then come together to form the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And it's important for us at guild level to think about our own groups in a congregation and our own, in the presbytery area, what we now call guilds together, and then the National Guild as well. Because that lets us see we're something, part of something that's so much bigger than just what we see day to day in our own situation. So you've got a body of Christ within the church. You've got it going over through history, and you've got it going sideways, if you like, across the world. Beyond the doors of this particular church here. So within the church we have these groups, and we mentioned it with the children. We've got the children, we've got the office bearers, musicians and singers, we've got parents, we've got carers, we've got artists, we've got all sorts of people who provide, along with ministers and other office bearers, the life of the church and are part of the body of Christ here in Cults and beyond. And as I keep saying, let's remember not to challenge ourselves to do the things on our own, because we're part of something much bigger if we work together. And in the guild, it's exciting to be part of that. I've done this job now for just over 8 years. And throughout that time, I've seen guilds come together at a local level. And all the work you'll see in your own congregation here, cherish that. Remember what the guild does with and for you. The importance of the guild to the congregation. And dare I say it, the guild is important to the whole life of the Church of Scotland in a way that really identifies it as something way beyond a group of people who you think maybe meet every Tuesday in the afternoon or the evening or wherever it may be and do their own thing. The effect of the guild permeates the church throughout everything that we do. They're not just there to make the tea, good though they may be as that, but they're also there to serve the congregation in so many other ways and to provide office bearers for the church and to lead worship from time to time and to lead other events that fundraise or speak to the congregation and speak to the society in which we live. The guild is much more than just a wee social thing. At presbytery level, it gives strength to itself by meeting together in the guild's together group. We used to call it the Presbyterial Council. I'll just tell you a story as to why we changed that name to Guilds Together. To celebrate the guilds. So they're talking about guilds coming together across Aberdeen or across Glasgow or across Tane or Ross Tane or Sutherland or wherever it may be, coming together to share their understanding of being the guild, but also to share the fellowship of being the guild. We used to call it a presbyterial council. People used to think that was something that presbytery ran, so we had to change that aspect. It's a guild thing. The council thing was really quite interesting. The lady who was then convener of the Presbyterial Council in Dundee spoke to a local guild one night, and she told us a story recently. And at the end of it, she was telling me what the Presbyterial Council did and how it brought guilds together, blah, 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 did all of that kind of thing. And someone said to her then, "So, you're from the council then?" To which she, innocently enough, said, "Yes, I am." "Well, that's great, because my stair light's been out for 3 weeks." The perception of what the Presbyterial Council was slightly skewed, shall we say. So we now have these guilds together groups, bringing people together at a regional level. And then collectively they form our national council. Out of the 750 guilds, 750 groups across the country meeting regularly and doing sterling work with and for the church. They meet in about 40 to 50 presbyterial groups called guilds together, and then the national council, which meets 4 or 5 times a year to run the national policies, if you like, of the guild. And that's when we start to look out the way even further. Because then we look at the resources we provide to help the guild run, but internationally as well. The last time I spoke at a church service in this way was in August in a church called Matope Church in a city called Mzuzu in the northern part of Malawi, where the guild has a huge connection with the church there, the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. And that's when you really see what the guild, through the Church of Scotland, through the guild, is actually about in many, many ways. One of the things we've done over the last couple of years is have events called Big Sings. And the offerings from those have gone to different pieces of work in Malawi. This year, it's to put a roof on a church. And we thought, not as exciting as we've done in the past, which was to do with the HIV projects or with training medical people or all sorts of human things like that. Putting a roof on a church sounded like a kind of strange thing to be doing, till we went to that church. In that morning service, the people on the chancel had plenty of space at the start. An hour and a half into the service, as people still were arriving, they had to clear the chancel to let more folk in. There were over 1,000 people in a building that holds about 500, standing outside and inside. They have 3,000 people wanting to come to church every week. And what they're doing is they've got a church that's probably about the size of this one, and they're building a new one outside it, like right round it. So if you imagine 3 or 4 or 5 times the size of this building being built right round you, and then once it's finished and we put the roof on, they're going to knock it down, the old one, and have a huge new church. And you see, that practical thing that the Guild is doing by coming together has a huge effect for thousands and thousands of people in a country thousands of miles away. And it's at that level, taking that journey, being companions on the road with the people of Malawi, we see the effect that we can have with them. And we bring things back from there as well about the mission that they have, the sense of the deep sense of faith they have, the level of worship they have, the commitment they have to their church and to their whole Christianity throughout their lives, in a way that perhaps we've lost a wee bit in this what they would describe as the mother church of the CCAP. So when you look at your Guild members, don't just see people who are meeting here on a week-by-week basis. Don't just see them as people as part of your congregation or people who are maybe a wee bit, you may know a wee bit about how they work across Aberdeen. Think about how nationally the Guild comes together and produces resources, events and ideas that touch the world in a much wider sense. One of our biggest pieces of work is a project partnership scheme, which works with six different charities over the same 3-year period. So we're in this one journey, many roads, and we'll look at other people's journeys and the roads that they're on as well. We have 6 different projects. My technique usually is to remember 5 of them when I try to list them, but never the same 5, but I'll have a go. We're working with Crossreach to look at loneliness and isolation and touching the lives of people who are in desperate states because of their own personal situations, their mental health and so on. We're working with the Boys Brigade to train new young people and to develop them and what they do. We're working with the Sailors Society to provide a chaplain in every port for seamen who are travelling all over the world, sometimes away from home, mostly from the Philippines, for months at a time, and their lives are being aided and helped and supported and encouraged by the work of the Guild fairly directly. We're working with a group called Malawi Fruits, encouraging young farmers in that country to develop into cash crops from the subsistence farming they've been doing in the past. We're working with an organisation called the Free to Live Trust, who are building safe houses for the children of sex workers in Pune in India. People at the very edge of life, in very, very dangerous situations. All of these projects working across the world with people on the very edge of what they're doing. And that's what the Guild does. Not just meeting every week, but touching the lives of people across the world, as it has done now for 132 years. The Guild is a central part of the body of Christ here. But it's only one part. The important thing is to keep a note in your mind of what they do and how they do it. But let's just think about who's here, for example. A wee bit like what the children did. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But just, could you just do that? Just raise your hand if you are an office bearer in the congregation. And keep your hands up. Put your hand up if you are or have ever been involved in leading an organization within the church. Put your hand up if you are a member of the choir. Do we have a choir here? Yes, thank you. Put your hand up. Keep your hands up once they're up. And it's the people asked first get to hold your hand up the longest, so you get the fittest out of this. Put your hand up if you're a musician. If any of the orchestra don't put their hand up, then we'll have to ask some deeper questions. Put your hand up if you're a member of the congregation. Put your hand up if you're a visitor today. There's people still putting their hands down, I think. If you've been asked to put your hand up so far, could you put your hand up? Put your hand up if you've not yet got your hand up. You put your hands down now. Without all of these people, the body of Christ wouldn't exist. And each of you has something to provide. individually. But collectively, there are things like there's the Kirk Session, which is a group within a church. There's the orchestra, which is a group within a church. There'll be other committees within this church, which are groups, which is also are parts of that body of Christ. And today, we're celebrating what the Guild is as part of that, and what they do for your congregation as part of this church here in Colts, but also as part of the Aberdeen Guilds together, and as part of that national group who's been touching the lives of people across the whole world. But 2 weeks ago, I was with Shuna at a celebration, commemoration, I'm not sure which, of the end of the National Youth Assembly, which we'd both been involved in our previous employment with the Board of Parish Education. And we were looking back down through the last 20 to 25 years of that. Now, when I was General Secretary of Parish Education back in the 1990s, we submitted a project proposal to the Guild to fund a National Youth Assembly. And the idea was that that would then develop young youth reps at the General Assembly, and it would create a whole voice for young people in our church. It was called Bridging the Gap. And we were successful. The Guild gave us the money to fund that project. So for the last 25 years, work that has been done by the Youth Assembly has been seed-funded and developed and encouraged, practically and in person, by the Guild to encourage young people in the church. It's a big, big voice in so many different ways. The Guild over the years has challenged the church. One of our national presidents opened a meeting once with a prayer written by a man called Brian Wren, and the first line of which was, God our Mother. And that immediately opened up a huge theological discussion which goes on to this day within the church. Around the same time, they boycotted South African oranges because the Guild wanted to make a stand against apartheid at a time when that was not a popular thing to do. In the 1956, the year I was born actually, the Guild built a church in Easterhouse in Glasgow because a new housing estate had been built without a church. And the Guild led the way on that. In the 1940s, the Guild did a project sending gifts to young mothers in Germany as a peace and reconciliation thing. And that's a real example of the Guild challenging people all the time about what we were about. My grandfather died in the First World War at Passchendaele, and my granny had her only son, my dad, away to war for the Second World War. If in 1946 you'd said to her, Jeannie, I've a great idea, what's that? She would have said, we're going to send gifts to the Germans. What would her reaction have been? But the Guild saw the need to start to build bridges across the international boundaries then, as they did in Easterhouse with the people who were living in those council houses in Glasgow, as they're doing with the children of sex workers in India, as they have done with human trafficking, domestic abuse, postnatal depression. All these issues, huge social and cultural issues that the Guild has led the church in discussing and putting on its agenda, way beyond what people's perception of what the Guild might be. So when you see your Guild members, who are Guild members? There's Guild members here. Are there Guild members out there as well? Any of you there? Look at these people. These are the members of your Guild. Remember what they do. Celebrate what they do. Cherish what they do. Because they're a central part of the life of this church and of our Church of Scotland and of the Church International. Touching lives here within their own group, touching lives here within their congregation, touching lives across Aberdeen, touching lives across the whole world, as they have done now for 132 years since the very first meetings of the Guild back in 1887 were held. Don't think of it as an organisation that's had its day. Think of it an organisation that's living in a different day from maybe it had in the past when we had 150,000 members. Think of it as an organisation which still has a voice within your church, which is part of the body of Christ at this local level. And it can't do all things, and it needs to work with the other groups in your church, and it needs to work with other people in your church and other people in your presbytery and so on. But cherish them because they are your companions on this road. They're each other's companions on the road. We are all companions on the road of faith and of the church's life as it stretches from the past with all those great shoulders on which we're standing right down to now and on into a vibrant, thriving future as well. Look at the Guild members and see yourself reflected in them. Find out more about the Guild, maybe even join the Guild. There might be more to it than you thought. But celebrate it today, because this is a huge part of the body of Christ and brings gifts and skills and presence and insight and faith in ways that are incredibly important both to the individuals but also to us as a collective Church of Scotland. It's good to be here. It's good to see a congregation thriving like this, to be a busy church like this, and to see one of our Guilds in person, continuing to lead your congregation, no doubt, in so many ways. Take that forward into the future. And next year, when we go from Companions on the Road to the Extra Mile, think about how you might be able to help them take that journey on the next stage, beyond where they are now, into the future, into the extra mile and the challenges that they face. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing the hymn number 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? Hymn number 533.
We shall continue our worship with the offering. The offering will now be uplifted.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we bring you these gifts of money, which are but a small repayment for all that you have given us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, commanded us to love our neighbour as ourselves. We are so aware that our world's resources are not shared equally, and that many live in situations of squalor, danger, and sadness. Gracious God, we cannot physically come alongside many who need our help, but we bring you now this money as a token of our love. May it be used to bless and help others wherever they are, and may they, in turn, become aware of your great love and care for them. Heavenly Father, we pray together for a world gone wrong, disturbed and unsettled. Look with compassion upon all who flee violence, oppression, or natural disaster today. Let us pray for those who live in fear of any kind, those who have to face prejudice because of their race, colour, or tongue, those who are fearful of the future with all its uncertainties, those who face difficult decisions where there is no easy answer. In particular, at this time, as we read about the human tragedy in the Middle East, let us pray for the never-ending conflict there. Let us also pray for the families of the recent human trafficking. Give them strength as they await news of the fate of their loved ones. Let us also remember those in the various organizations who have the harrowing task of identifying the victims and reuniting them with their families. Let us remember, too, another conflict nearer home, that between our politicians as they wrestle with the problems brought on by Brexit and now with the forthcoming general election. Give them strength to continue the process and the wisdom to enable them to develop an outcome which will prove to be of benefit to all whom they represent. As we approach this time of remembrance, we hold before you all those who have died as a result of war. May we remember the cost, lest we forget the value of our freedom, the responsibilities it brings, and the reassurance of peace. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We now continue our worship with our closing hymn, which is hymn 458, At the Name of Jesus. Hymn 458.
As you go from this place as parts of the body of Christ, as we travel from here companions on the road, may the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart, that all might see, and seeing, believe. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.
As we take the land of mine.